You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 117.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. That was a clip from a piece called Pachelbel for the Potomac by Laura Sullivan. Of course, it's based on the famous Pachelbel canon, one of my favorite classical pieces. And of course, I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Now that you've had some time to digest, I hope you enjoy my latest podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. Well, my main topic today is Blackboard's Explore, which actually stands for Cross-Platform Learning Object Repository. I'll be talking to Brad Cook, who's the Vice President of Product Development at Blackboard Learn. Speaking of Blackboard, and before we get to the actual interview, I also wanted to alert you to a very interesting unconference coming to U-Sciences. It's the Northeast eLearning Consortium's unconference. The consortium has put on several conferences, but this is the first unconference. It also happens to be the first stop in Philadelphia for Blackboard's Never Stop Learning Tour. So it's fully sponsored by Blackboard and some of their partners. And I invite you to save the date, Monday, December 16th, and register to come to our unconference. And if you haven't been to an unconference, I think you'll find they're very stimulating and exciting. They're really designed to increase peer-to-peer conversations and collaboration. So I think you'll get a kick out of it. So come to the website to register. The bit.ly URL is bit.ly/usciences-register. And I hope to see you here at U-Sciences on Monday, December 16th. Of course, I'll be posting all the links to the things we talk about on this podcast on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. So let's move on to my interview with Brad Cook. We're going to answer the questions, what is Explore? How does it work? How does it work with LMSs from other companies? And why do you need an LMS if you have Explore? In a nutshell, Explore is used to share content. In fact, they have an agreement with Khan Academy, so it makes it very easy to share the content in your courses that might come from Khan Academy and eventually others. And it allows you to build course modules. You can build a full course out of Explore. So rather than me talking about it, let me move on. And here's my interview with Brad Cook. Brad, thanks so much for agreeing to spend some time with me today and talking to my audience.
Yeah, Rodney, great to be here. And thanks for having me on your podcast. I appreciate it.
So, Brad, tell me a little bit about yourself first. What's your function at Blackboard Learn?
Well, Rodney, I'm the Vice President of Product Management for the Learn product line within Blackboard. I've been in that role for just over a year. And prior to that, I had been working on the course delivery product for Learn. And then I'd actually come over with the Angel acquisition. And I had been head of products back at Angel.
I've been at U-Sciences for about almost 5 years now. And we were on Angel and we made the move to Blackboard. I've been a Blackboard supporter for quite some time. And I was very excited to learn about Explore because it seems to me that this has been the sort of the holy grail in terms of having a platform to develop content that could be used in a modular fashion, across systems. So could you sum up Explore and give us a little bit of rundown, what it's all about and how you how it came to be?
Yeah, well, let's start with the name. Explore stands for Cross-Platform Learning Object Repository. And, you know, as a former Angel client, you know that we had a fairly strong learning object repository with Angel. But as with most repositories, it was limited to either the institution or the course level in terms of how you're able to distribute and manage that content. and it was unique to a single LMS. And what Explore's mission is to take open industry standards. So Explore is based on the IMS Common Cartridge Standard. That's the methodology and the standard by which all the content items are Explore are utilized. And it broadcasts or distributes that content to any LMS via the LTI standard. So it's a very open way of creating content and sharing it across any number of institutions and across any number of platforms. So the concept here was to, you know, break down the walls of the learning management system and give individual or departmental or, you know, institution-wide content creators the ability to create, manage, and deploy content centrally across any number of systems.
And I've also heard that it's a way to bring in public content from, or, you know, outside of the LMS realm. Is that right? If that's so, how does that work in practice?
Well, that was one of the first issues or first content packages we went out to try and acquire. Part of being open on this is to begin delivering some of the great OER resources that are out there. So at launch with Explore, we have a relationship with the Khan Academy. So for example, all of the Khan Academy content is now available and searchable through Explore. It's just a starting point. So Explore allows the instructors to get together and coordinate on building content and then to share that content in any way they choose. And so one of the unique things about it is that it has all of the copyright and versioning and editing controls you would expect from a really heavy-duty content system, but are done in completely open standard ways. So, for example, there's all of the Khan Academy content there. We're using the Creative Commons language for all the copyright work. So it allows institutions to create copyright, set edit and versioning requirements, and then distribute and manage content in a way they've just not been able to before, and with potentially tremendous time savings. So if you would imagine someone who's managing content at an institution level, and they want to have consistent assessments delivered, or they want to begin working on getting their courses to have, you know, a more common, higher quality bit of content, with Explore, they can create that content in one location, enable it to be used and have it pushed out to all of those courses. And then if they choose to, they can make an update just in one spot and have that update reflected in all of those courses, depending upon how it was, you know, the course, whether it was subscribed to or edited locally, depending upon the permissions.
Now, you mentioned Khan Academy. Are there other sources that you're working with to bring into the fold?
We're looking broadly at what OER content is available, and the Khan Academy is who we've chosen to launch with. I know there are other conversations going on. I just can't speak to those at this time.
And you mentioned OER for our audience. What does that mean?
That's Open Education Resources. So you'll see some OER content published by the likes of Stanford or MIT, and that content we hope someday to find its way into Explore as a delivery platform that makes it possible for that content to be used within any LMS.
From the faculty point of view, what would this look like to them? Okay, they're an instructor in Blackboard, which is, of course, our LMS here at University of the Sciences. They go into their course. What would it look like to them? What do they have to do to take advantage of Explore?
Well, just like they would any other content item in Blackboard, when they logged in their course and they're in edit mode and they want to add or change content within their course, there's the same menu you're used to using in terms of adding content. And now in that menu, there is an add from Explore. And so once you've clicked that, you're taken to the Discover interface within Explore, where you can either browse or search. And there are great tool sets available there. So, for example, you could search by associated competency, or you can search by difficulty level or by peer rating, or you can search and filter your results by what the edit rights are for particular content. And let's say you want to pull something down and customize it. You can just filter that search down to finding content that allows you as an instructor to edit that content. So you can take care of the issues around copyright and edit permissions through Explore and make sure that you're staying, you know, in policy with your institution in terms of the content you're deploying within your course.
Mm-hmm. So in this case, say, of Khan Academy, the Khan Academy content is not actually stored in Explore. Is that right? And it's more Explore in this sense is more like a very specialized search engine.
Yeah, that's correct. We've pulled the archive of their content in, but one of the interesting things about Explore is that the content still resides in the cloud. So Khan Academy's content resides on their servers, and then it's integrated into Explore, and you pull that into your course via something called LTI link, which allows a back and forth exchange of data so that when your students are completing their work against that content item, you're able to get grade data back to grade and activity data back to the LMS from that. If you as an instructor are creating content, that content then resides in the Explore cloud and not necessarily or not at all within your course. And one of the great benefits of that is getting that single point of edit and change. And the other, your course cartridges shrink dramatically in size. You could have a fully built out course with, you know, literally dozens and dozens of content objects and assessments and discussions in your course. And they're all really just a series of LTI links. So as an institution or as an instructor, when it comes time to copy your course or roll things forward, things can happen much, much more quickly.
So from the faculty members' point of view, though, what would be the advantage to developing their course in Explore as opposed to just using the Blackboard LMS?
Well, the biggest advantage to completing it in Explore and building it out there is the edit once, update everywhere phenomenon. Right now in Blackboard, if I create a course and have multiple content items, at the file level, I can create one file and have it shared across multiple courses.
Right, using the content collection, yes.
You can't do that in Blackboard right now with native interactive objects like discussions or assessments or assignments. So those items have to get copied within each and every course, and they exist as distinct items within each course. So as an instructor, building a course out and relying on Explore for those items allows you to version your course and move those items forward very simply. And it gets back to that, I can edit it in one spot and have those changes show up everywhere. So I may have a bank of 500 questions out there. I may have dozens of assessments. I may have my assignments built out in Explore. And I may be utilizing those across 5, 6, or 10 different courses that I teach from semester to semester or term over term. It allows me to manage all of the content in all of those courses in one spot. And when I make a correction in one spot, that shows up everywhere.
Right. So that's interesting. That makes sense to me because I was thinking that the content collection, as you mentioned, you know, enables a faculty member to share one document among multiple courses, but that's only at the sort of the content file level, not these other features.
Yeah, that's correct. And if you can imagine then, as an institution, you're able to create and deploy assessments from a single point across all courses at an assessment or within an institution or within all courses within a particular department. And it starts getting interesting because then all of the student submissions are rolling up, you know, with all their appropriate relevant course and student ID and section ID, all that data travels with it. But all of that information is now traveling to one spot, which makes measuring student performance or looking for trends or other items much simpler than trying to aggregate and measure against results from multiple courses, because all your data is residing against a single item at that point.
Interesting, yeah. Of course, we're very interested in mobile. We use the Blackboard mobile tools, Blackboard Mobile Learn, and even Mobile Central, or now Mosaic. But so is Explore designed from the ground up to be used on iPads, for example?
At this point, it's a native part of the Learn environment and does not have a dedicated iPad type interface. But where we're heading at Blackboard is we're heading toward a model where the product itself works just on any mobile device. So we're heading towards something called responsive design, where basically the browser you're launching your product from, or the dedicated app in the case of a mobile device, looks at what the available basically pixel sizes to render the product, and renders learn appropriately according to that device. And it's really kind of an art, because as the available pixels or the devices get smaller, right, we have to continually fold items off the page away from prominence, but in a way they're still accessible, but we need to keep the focus on where you're going with that. So rolling forward with us, you'll see Blackboard Learn heading very aggressively down a path toward responsive design, where the vast bulk of Blackboard should just work properly on any device you access it from. And then we'll look for key opportunities to take advantage of the kind of the native power of dedicated applications on the various mobile platforms. There are things you can do with a native app, obviously, you can't do in responsive design. So we'll look for places to really target things that make sense within a native environment. You know, primarily we're looking at things like push notifications. You've had a new test grade posted. There are new items for you to respond to. You have a discussion post that you should reply to. We want to have that back and forth work. But there are other areas that make sense just to render, and will render very well in responsive design. So we're looking at kind of a balance right there.
From the student's point of view, I guess it appears like any other content item within Blackboard. Do they have any different experience other than, you know, where the data is coming from?
No, it integrates seamlessly. And as a matter of fact, one of the most compelling demonstrations we have of Explorer is we go through and we create a test in Explorer. And then we load that test in Blackboard and take a look. And, you know, it just looks like a normal test within Blackboard. But then we can jump over to Angel and load that same test, and it looks exactly the same. We can load the same test in Moodle Rooms. We can load the same test in Sakai. It looks the same. So that starts to explain some of the power that Explorer has. We know that there are many institutions that don't have a single LMS experience across all of their campuses, or there are folks who are creating content now who may want to distribute that content to other schools or share, and Explorer facilitates that in a way that allows that content, those assessments, those assignments to function on any LMS.
Right. I'm sure, you know, a lot of big institutions, I know in the Philadelphia area, certainly Penn, they use multiple LMSs. And for our audience, just to make it clear, Explorer can be used with Blackboard. You mentioned Angel, Moodle, and Sakai. Are there any other LMSs that it's going to work with or does work with now?
Since it utilizes just basic LTI links, it can work with any LMS. What we're really waiting for now, we've not yet integrated with, say, a Desire to Learn or a Canvas, but we're just waiting for a client to come forward and request that, and then we'll get that set up for them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, but you brought it up, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, this part of the promise of following open standards is you make that work available broadly, right? We have no interest in tying it down. We have every interest in it becoming a widely adopted, used, and you know, appreciated way to manage and distribute content in support of teaching and learning. So it just needs to work everywhere.
I take it one of the advantages of using Explorer then is that if our faculty go that route to develop their content, they can share it outside of our institution. How does that work?
There's a couple ways you can do that, but the one really simple way is just to set the permissions on the content to allow it to be shared and used outside your institution. So you could open it up to the entire world, or you can open up to any kind of subset you choose to define. So that's a very simple way of doing that. And you, as I mentioned earlier, you have the ability to set copyright and edit controls on it as well. So you can determine, you know, what the copyright status is and who is allowed to edit that work, and what copyright status has to follow those edits. So that's one way. You can just open it up and let people browse and find. We also have the concept of collections within there, where it's very easy to curate and produce collections of content within Explorer that can be marketed or segmented off that way so that people looking for particular types of content can find it. And then the final way, through a collection, you can actually post an entire course as just a single object in Explorer. So you have a lot of facility there. An example, one of the courses that we tested early with this was an instructor experience, online experience course we taught as a MOOC with Professor Bonk. That entire course was just converted to Common Cartridge and just posted on Explorer. So there's an entire kind of turnkey how to better design courses for online environments ready to go. It's just one item you can pull down and install.
Interesting. Yeah, it occurred to me this would be an ideal platform for doing a MOOC. MOOCs imply free or open. How about monetizing a course? In certain different institutions have different policies with regard to ownership, but if I have a faculty member here that builds a course, would there be a way for them to monetize it through Explore?
The digital rights management part is architected directly into Explore right now. We've not yet finished the development around monetizing that. So there are ways to do that. You can create a common cartridge, export of the course, and then sell or license that as you choose. So there are some options there, but there's no direct commerce link within Explore at this point. There's no Explore storefront. And it's important to note that Explore itself is not a learning management system. It is accessed through an LMS. So the content you create there and the packaging and the work you do to put things together, it's in an open, searchable, content repository that people can go find this material. But there's no separate commerce engine yet within Explore.
Okay. So that partially answers the question I had, which maybe obvious to some folks. It's like, why would Blackboard develop something that's looking like it's competing with their own LMS?
Well, we needed a way first to get access to assessments and assignments and those native kind of interactive objects and get them outside the course structure. It's an area we've been passionate about, and you've seen some of the work we've done with our social learning, with cloud-based profiles. We are pulling more and more kind of out of the garden wall, if you will, of the course and allowing it to exist outside the course and particularly outside the LMS in the case of Explore, where this content can reside. I think it just fits with a growing desire, and I'll look to Ray Henderson for kind of driving this at the very start, of making sure that we're the best possible citizen we can be within the academic technology market. So you've seen us contribute and participate very heavily in the IMS, particularly around LTI and LIS standards, and kind of being the first really major LMS and the biggest market share leader to put a product out there that actually makes it absolutely simple as can be to move content in and out of Blackboard is something I don't think many people would have expected from Blackboard just a few years ago.
That's right. That's right. It was very surprising to me. And I'll tell you, I've been in this business for a pretty long time. And years ago, we talked about sharing content among faculty and used to run up against what we called the NIH syndrome, not invented here. How is it too early to say how much this is leading to faculty, sharing content?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Everybody loves to share as long as they're not the one doing the sharing, right? Everyone
exactly.
likes the consumer side of the equation, not so much necessarily the contributor side. This is, my personal take on this, and the folks on the actual Explore team may modify this a bit, but I think our primary benefit to begin with is probably less around sharing and more around really simple ways to manage, control, and improve the content that's in your courses. I mean, to be able to respond to student feedback, to those end-of-term surveys, and basically to the big data making its way into education, and to be able to update your course to build a better student experience and drive better outcomes, and be able to do that in one spot and have those changes reflected, either institution-wide, if it's large-scale, or if you're just a single instructor, to fix those couple items you wanted fixed and have those reflected in all the courses you teach, that's the immediate boots on the ground benefit of Explore. We still see a kind of a proprietary nature around the creation and deployment of content in different markets. You're seeing faster adoption of kind of sharing items in certain markets. I mean, in the K-12 market, finding a great lesson is kind of simple to do, and that concept of sharing is a little more widely accepted than it is in higher ed. But I think when we think of futures of this, of opening this potentially to students so they can search the repositories and find content in search of their own learning efforts, so that's where it starts to get really exciting, right? If I'm a student struggling with a particular topic, and through Blackboard I can go find additional tutorial resources or additional resources to help me better understand that, it's just a native part of using my course – That's pretty compelling. It supports more learner choice and a more learner-centric education view.
Well, this has been an interesting discussion. I've been really wanting to learn much more about Explore. You know, everybody's busy. I haven't been able to dig into it too much, but this has given me another impetus, I think, to really delve into it, especially in the sense that, you know, we're developing more and more online programs and courses. And it seems to me that Explore might be the way to do that rather than to have it locked into to the Blackboard LMS.
Well, it certainly gives you a few more options.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thank you so much for talking to me today. And best of luck with Explore and your other ventures at Blackboard.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time today, Rodney.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview and learned as much as I did about Explore. And stay tuned. I'll have to have them come back when Explore is a little bit further along and we've had more experience here with using it at USciences. So don't forget to see my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. And so stay tuned for the full song, Pack a Bell for the Potomac by Laura Sullivan. Thank you.
that's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.